Brother Clem to come on up as I introduce him. And had the privilege of meeting Clem over the past several years at district conference. And then he called one day and said, I'd like to take you out to lunch. And he wanted my undivided attention. And the reason for that is because this is a man on a mission. And he has a mission given to him by the Christian and Missionary Alliance. One of the things that we talked about in Sunday school class, and we'll talk about it again, is how do we as a people, the Christian and Missionary Alliance, how do we fund the great work of missions and all the missionaries that we support? How do we do that? We're a smaller congregation, some larger, some smaller in the Christian Missionary Alliance, and we give sacrificially, but it's not enough to fund all the missionaries that we have. And so there are ways that we can be good stewards of our money, and we can allow some of that to go to the work of the missions, as well as take care of our family and our needs and so on. Just as a way of launching into this, someone, if you're here as a visitor, we don't always talk about finances, but you know, of all topics, the Lord talks about finances more than faith, more than prayer. 22 of the parables that Jesus spoke and taught are on stewardship. And so it's a very appropriate time for us to give our attention to Clem. I've appreciated your friendship, and I pray blessings upon you as you preach to us, brother.
Thank you very much.
Amen.
Is the microphone on? Am I okay? Am I being heard? Now I am. And some slides on the screens. There we go. Technology on this end, so far so good, give you an A+. I've been where disasters happen. So, yes, we're going to talk about the gift of beauty. And great to be here. Come down from Lancaster County. My wife, Marianne, if she can wave. She don't want to stand. All right, came down with me. And we're going to talk a little bit about her and my story as we go through this this morning. You have a great location here. I love it. I love your facility here. May the Lord use you here mightily. It's a privilege to stand behind the pulpit here. I take this responsibility. Very important, very much a privilege. So legacy planning, we're going to do a little commercial. So stay with me. Okay, I'm going to do about a 4 or 5 minute commercial so you know what I do. And there's a table of stuff back there. In your bulletin was 2 handouts. Let's make sure you have them because one of those you'll need throughout the time we're talking, as the Lord prompts you, and that's called the gift of beauty, so hold on to that one. The other one is a sign-up sheet. How can we serve you? Which is what I do for the Christian Missionary Alliance. I'm employed by the CMA, and what I do as the legacy planner, which is my title, is I assist folks with a broad spectrum of financial issues in your life, depending on where you're at in your, I call it life cycle, if you please, your age, if you please. But I've covered folks from 21 to 98, and I bet you that covers a lot of people, certainly all the adult people here in the congregation. And the 98-year-old was a precious Christian lady who just was fully committed to what God was doing throughout the world. Just loved to meet her. So we cover a broad spectrum. That, you know, you got long-term care issues in your life, elder issues, you got life insurance. You don't know, do I have enough life insurance? You're trying to figure out, can I retire? How's Social Security work? How's Medicaid work? How do I get my kids into college? Now, I'm not a financial planner in the sense of a certified financial planner, okay? But I'm an overview guy to help you get to the right people if you need them. A lot of people don't know what they don't know. And so in my 30-some years, I want to bring some expertise to you and give you some guidance in your life. So helping you be intentional about a legacy that you leave. When God calls you home, then, the real fact of the matter of what I do is helping you get to that place after all the other planning. When you go home, then what? When you go home to be with the Lord, then what happens? And make sure that process, that you have peace of mind over it, that everything's going to be taken care of, your family's going to be taken care of, your wills are in place, beneficiary forms are in place, and those things. And if possible, you've considered the Lord's work in your plan, leaving a legacy to advance God's kingdom. And I have creative tools that may be there to help reduce the tax impact, reduce the probate issues, so forth, some practical things I bring to the table if it fits your circumstance. Now, I want you to know my heart. I'm here to help you. Period, end of statement. Not get something from you, but help you. Those other things will take care of themselves as we talk. Things come out that you can say, oh, I didn't know I could do that. And then we'll show you how to bless God's kingdom. But it's about helping you. By the way, your stuff goes somewhere. You can't take it with you, right? In my house, there are many rooms. None of them designated storage. Okay? If you're like me, the whole basement was storage. Finally, after 8 years, we got a storage unit and moved it over. Anyway. Either goes to family. The government has its normal taxation process. Nothing wrong with that. That's what keeps what police and military and education and all the other things. Okay, nothing wrong with that. But there are taxes. But can we avoid some of those taxes properly? And when we think of charity, we can actually do some avoiding of taxes by how we include God's ministries into the mix. Well, that's a little bit of my background there. Married 4 children. One of those children is actually spiritually grafted in, so we call her a child, and the 2 boys are grandchildren. I've been a CPA, an executive bank officer, this role for 7 or 8 years. Been in the church in many ministries as elder treasurer. The last bullet point there is a caregiver. So I understand what it is to take care of an aging parent, and through that and help you navigate elder planning to some extent. I know how it is to take care of my wife for many, many years, and caring for her with her lupus and her battle with lupus, which God has extinguished. We'll talk maybe a little bit more about that. But my role is to help you plan, no cost, no expectations. On the table out there is this booklet. You'll see it on the slide. You can take that booklet. That'll help you get ready to prepare your legacy plan, and I come back and I'll sit down with you. So take that sign-up sheet that I showed to you, and if you can't make one of those appointments, then you can fill that in, and I'll be glad to sit down with you at another time. But if you can make one of the appointments on one of those days, then fill in on the sheet out there for a designated appointment time. 5 minutes, 20 seconds. I got to get that down faster. But anyway, good to be here. Core value of the Christian Mission Alliance. Everything we have belongs to God. We are only stewards. Not ours, it's the Lord's. God owns everything. The scripture there in Chronicles 29, David coming to make a sacrifice to the Lord. He says, Lord, what can I bring to you that you haven't already given into my hands? It came from God. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. It's not ours, it's his. And not only that, he is the source of the increase. It's not about our egos. You know, a farmer can do all he wants on the field, but still God has to make it grow. I can do all I want 19 years in this bank that I worked at, everything I wanted to do, but God still has to bring the favor and the blessing to me there. It's about God, not about me. If you think you own that job that you're working at, you better let it go, or God will do as he did in my case. Not that I felt that I owned the job, I knew I didn't. But God still removed me in his perfect timing. That was a wonderful day. I was blessed. Told my boss, who was dismissing me, I'm blessed. Thank you. My list of to-dos finally went to one. That one was leave the bank. Stewardship defined, the careful and responsible management of something entrusted to one's care. Again, it's not ours, it's his. It's not ours, it's his. Any of you who does not give up everything, the scripture says there in Luke, give up everything he has, cannot be my disciples. So on the sheet, the second sheet of paper that was there before you, there's a list of questions. First question is, what am I gripping tightly? What's in your life that is important to you? Why the sheet? Why the space? Because things will come to mind that you had to write down. And to keep this in your Bible, put it on your refrigerator, because this process of releasing and letting go is an ongoing process in all our lives. To say, it's in your hands and not in mine. This ministry here that I stand is the Lord's, not mine. If I make it mine, I got a mess. If you make your job yours, you're going to have a mess. Haggai says, and there in the first chapter, talks about God wanting about his temple, and they weren't taking care of the temple. They take care of themselves. They're taking care of their own homes. And God said, oh, I'm going to blow it all away. That which they think they have, God can just as quickly blow it all away. We are called to make sure that the ownership is with God and surrender it, release it back to Him. What are you gripping tightly? What is important in your life? What gives you your most security in life? Retirement account, job, bank account, family, children. Be sure they're first in God's hands and you release them back. I don't know what is on your list, but it's important to make that list. And here's a little cartoon that says, well, Charles, hopefully there's no Charles here. When I baptize you, everything that goes under belongs to God. Now, depends on your age break here. That's either, it might be cash money, or it might be an iPad or iPod or an iPhone or something, right? Depending on the age break you're at, you know, but I got my iPhone up there. What belongs to God? This is not a lengthy list. This is just some things that God has prompted me on to talk about. Children, I mentioned that. That doesn't have anything to do with finance, does it? Well, it doesn't. Wait, it costs like $1 million or something to get them through. Anyway, all right, that's a side point. Time, treasures, we understand that. Relationships, giftings, our talents are on there. How we are bent, how we are designed. God knows that. He was probably fully involved in the process. And there's another thing on there called life experiences or trials. How are trials something I can steward back to God? My wife was abused as a child, grew up with an alcoholic, abusive father to her mother and to the other siblings. She was sort of right in the middle, the third child out of six. She would tell me a story that when Dad was in his rant and out of control, that she would take the three younger ones, siblings, and hide in the closet. I asked her one time, well, how long were you in the closet? How long were you hovering in there? And she said, I don't know. Just until I knew for a long time it was quiet. And we would come out. She remembers another time between Mom and Dad when Dad had a knife on her mother. What does that got to do with stewardship? As God brought her through the healing of that, and first was healing, in the name of the Lord, there's healing from that abuse. And there's wholeness that comes through Jesus Christ. Find that, know that, pursue that. And as God brought her to that healing, and later on in life, as she was able to recover from lupus and other things in her life, we founded a small business, a bridal gown shop. And she, as we hired folks that worked for us, we found out, oh, they had similar issues and needs and deep-rooted pain that she began to minister to. I remember she called me up one day and she said our employee was sort of in a dark area in a stairwell in our first floor. We have two floors. And she said, can you help? I can't get her out. And she talked suicide and those kinds of things. I said, I fortunately was a few minutes away, came, met with her and my wife, and we talked with her and prayed with her, and we got her to a very good counselor, one that actually helped my wife and other of our family that we referred to her. And I believe through the process, she actually came to the Lord. Although she might have grown up in the church, I don't think she knew the Lord. And through the process, she came to the Lord and became our vibrant employee for, I think, 7 years. She worked for us, and she's doing your Bible study that you have. And so, instead of my wife holding on to the pain, the abuse, finding God's healing and pursuing that, and then saying, others need to know. God has continued to bring those folks to the steward, that she can steward that experience for their benefit to touch their lives. What have you gone through? What's in your life? How have you been designed? How has God bent you? So we're going to talk a little bit about that. All this belongs to God. And, oh, happy day. Don't get me singing. If we can move the slide there one, and then maybe I'll get back on control. There you go. Can we move one slide? Not move it off. I had control of it. We okay there? Anyway, we can move the slides forward. I do want to stay, not lose too much time here, otherwise I'll go. Turn in your scriptures to Matthew 25, if you would. We're going to go into the parable of the talents. And just in case, I'm going to change the batteries. But we'll go ahead in Matthew 25 and just shoot up there to that slide about resources. Keep going. There you go. Go next slide. There we go. And let's see if I get control here again. All right. Matthew 25. I'm going to be reading down through the scriptures. I'm going to change these batteries real quick, if I can. I kind of thought I was okay, but you know how that goes. And we're going to go down to verse 14, and let's see if that works. All right, there we go. We'll see if we're there, but if we're not, then guess what? We're going to read out of scriptures and flow through anyway. Again, in verse 14, chapter 25, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. Whose property was it? The master's property, and he entrusted it to his servants. He gave 5 talents of money to one and 2 talents to another. One talent also, according to their ability. And I'm reading down in, verse 15. So to one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Remember I used the word bent? And I'd like to expand the word here, ability, to be fuller breadth than that. They're bent. Their design. Everything about them. Their giftings. As well as how he resourced them with these 5 or 2 or 1 talent. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. Now let's note, again, back on that ability, the master knew his servants. The master knew his servants. And, we'll see a little later, the servants knew the master. It's not a mechanical story. It's a relationship of these 3 servants and their master. Secondly, verse 16, they went at once. There wasn't a delay. They didn't, well, let's think about this. They went at once. They understood the expectations of the master and what was expected of them in this. The third servant, he hid it. He kept a tight grip. He dug a hole with his master's money. Verse 19, after a long time, you know, after a long time, you generally give up. There was a trust here as well. We're going to talk about all these points as we go. Between the servants and the master, understanding him and trusting him. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I've gained 5 more. See the enthusiasm. See, I've gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness, your master's joy, your master's blessedness. Come and share. The man with the 2 talents, same happened to him, and the same words back from the master. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Verse 24. Then the man who had received the 1 talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here's what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked and lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers. Just in case you don't like bankers, I'm stuck here. I had to get that in so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So one held it tightly, went out and dug a hole, didn't put it in the bank where he could have got interest and gave something more than what he received to begin with back to the master. Right? What was going on there? Why wicked and lazy? Certainly lazy. He didn't want to take a risk. The other ones at once went out and took a risk. When you begin to invest, there's risk involved. You don't know quite what you're going to receive back when you're putting something to work. But he did not. He didn't go to the bank. He instead dug a hole. Why? Well, maybe he thought the master's not coming back. Maybe he connived, this will be mine one day, and wanted to keep possession of those talents, which had some value of money. We don't know. But they knew the master. They all knew the master. So let's see if we can go back in our steps. When we go back into that words at once, I want us to see they were on a mission of fulfilling those expectations that the master had, that how they knew and understood the master. And we are on mission as his disciples. Our resources that we have and that have been placed into our hands will follow our life mission. Well, that's for the Lord or whatever it's for. That's where we expend our time and money. What we like to do. What gets us up in the morning? What makes us tick? What is important to us in our lives? What are you passionate about? Because what I want to say to you is that doesn't make it wrong. What I want to bring to light is whatever it is that makes you tick and that you're passionate about, where your heart is and what your heart embraces, have you laid it over top of God's mission for your life and how He has designed you? If my wife didn't want to share about what God did for her through the abuse that was in her life, then there's about three souls at our workplace that wouldn't have benefited by her sharing out of her pain what the Lord can do for them. We are to go and make disciples, build people up in the knowledge of Christ. We do that in many different ways, including supporting global missions. We'll talk about that in a moment. Supporting what's going on in Stevensville, supporting what's going through the Island Alliance Church, how you deal with and touch your family, how you touch those in your family and around you, the place where God has put you. Go and make disciples, and we're to be His witnesses. My pastor loves bowling. I don't know if you like bowling or not, but my pastor loved bowling. Before he was saved, he loved bowling. After he was saved, he loved bowling. When he went into the pastorate, he loved bowling. He didn't give up his passion for bowling. He's not a real good bowler, by the way. But anyway, I don't think I've ever said that before. I have to tell him that. But anyway, he's better than I am, though, so I have to. But that is where he touches people. He's had a chance to invite people to church there. He's had a chance to lead them to the Lord there. He's had the chance to pray for healing at the bowling alley. Okay? Not a church, the bowling alley. He didn't give up the passion. He just overlaid it with God's call upon his life, which is no different than the call God has upon our life. And so that's why that little block, what are you passionate about? Possibly God has already birthed in you or placed you or designed you or resourced you with that which you can leverage or utilize for the kingdom. I know we have a lot to balance in this world today. Providing for our family, building security, that retirement account, you know, those kind of things. We want comfort and a measure of happiness. We do want to make a difference in people's lives and helping them and in the kingdom. We balance all those things in our life. And those are things that we come before the Lord and say, okay, how do I do this before you? For in our life and as we walk, we're not to be storing up our treasures here and keep our hands around it tightly. Not to be worried about, okay, what's in my retirement account? Yes, we do the planning. We talked about that in the earlier slide. We got to balance it. Some measure of planning, some measure of some security in this life, you know. So we have a basis and a foundation that we can be used by God. But ultimately, those treasures that we are to cast them forward before us, heading towards our treasures in heaven. That's first off where our passions and hearts should be. First off, and everything else would follow that. What was in the slide where I had resources up? I had one item, a different color. What was that?
The gospel.
God has entrusted us with the gospel. We are to be his ambassadors. We are to be in this ministry of reconciliation. It is the gospel that we are stewarding. And everything else follows after that. Everything else is the leverage to fulfill God's kingdom plan to take the gospel to the ends of the world. And as we do that, that is why and how we're casting our treasures in heaven. So investing in the light, investing in the gospel light. We see there in the world points of light where the gospel is already at, is what the lights represent. The Christian Missionary Alliance is in many of these places, but more in the last maybe 6 to 8 years, there was a defined strategy to get into these dark places here. If you can, sorry, I got two maps here. In these dark places here, across northern Africa, then the Middle East area, over through India, China, and Mongolia, and have a work there for the kingdom. We move into the third point, what are you investing in? Certainly the Alliance, whether it's in Stephensville, whether it's through the Great Commission Fund, or other ministries that you know are effective for the kingdom. That's certainly the first place to say, okay, how should I be investing to advance God's work throughout the world and in my locale, locally and globally? But let's talk about the Great Commission Fund, just briefly. I know we have some workers there in Northern Africa. They've had to close one of the centers down. It's very dangerous there. There's been some killing indiscriminately. And so they've consolidated one of the centers as they work amongst the national religion that's there, or the main religion that's there, and try and have a point of light to the souls there. But this particular missionary company, couple that came out of Eastern Pennsylvania District, they arrived in this North African country. We don't say the country because of the dangers and the names of the missionaries. But they arrived in that country. The next day there was a coup. Government was overthrown. Riots in the street. Chaos. The words that came back from the missionaries were, "Glad we got there." I'm sorry, I'd be running. Praise the Lord. And they stuck it out and they've been there. That's been about 4 years, I think. They've established two beachheads there, but we had to consolidate one back for a time. But God is at work. How are you investing? What are you investing in? Where are you putting your labors and resources to? Just to give you a quick example, in Vietnam, Vietnam now there are over 1.2 believers that are part of the Christian Missionary Alliance. Did I say that? 1.2 million believers. Did I say 1.2? I meant 1.2 million. Somewhere in my mind, I said, "You didn't do that right." 1.2 million. When we left, there was only a few thousand that was known when we had to withdraw back in 1975. But God continued to build his church through those whom were converted from the missionaries and the workers there from various works, not just the Christian Missionary Alliance. But that is what, in the Congo, 1.6, 1.7 million believers there in Central Africa. There's a Mongolian church that was taken maybe 5 years ago in Mongolia, where there's at least 40,000 or more believers now in Mongolia. When at one time in 1989, I think there was 8. God is working. God is working. We are to invest to advance God's kingdom. What are you investing in? Let me move along. The fourth point is about trust. You see here, we went through a little bit of a great recession back in 2008, 2009. I lost my job March of 07. God saw fit. I needed to get alongside my wife and care for her. It's not that she had lupus at that time, because we believe the Lord took care of lupus, but she had many ill effects of medications that she was on, and one of those being pain medication, fentanyl patch, for 12 years and other opiates prior to the fentanyl. So she was on opiates for 15 years or more. And I lost my job. That was wonderful. But that was a blessing because I knew finally I could, had clarity from God. I needed to get alongside my wife and help her through the pain, addiction and withdrawal that was going to come. So we tried to do that on our own briefly, 2 months, to get her one more step down. She's already taken many steps off of this opiate and was down to 50 units an hour. When I lost my job, we went from 50 to 25. That was being up all night and rising and so forth. The withdrawal comes with withdrawal. Got her down to 25. Took about 2 months where we felt stability. And I said, Lord, how do we get her off the other 25? Or how does she get off the other 25 without her really jumping out the window, which she threatened many times? The Lord found a place down in Georgia that was a natural, and we've learned a lot in these 15 years of natural medicine and integrated health medicine and functional medicine and chiropractic care and acupuncture, many things that some don't, that's okay. But they were what God used for us and to bring her out. And that was part of what brought her through the lupus. And so as we went to Georgia, that there was a cleansing that happened. And God gave my wife back to me. Her neurotransmitters, this was an IV treatment, it cleaned up all her neurotransmitters from the addiction, and in 10 days, this was outpatient, by the way, in 10 days, she was restored back to me. The sky was bluer, the grass was greener, her memory started coming back, and her body functions all were improved. And so that was 2007. Toward the end of 07, that happened in August of 07, she was bouncing off the walls. And so if you ever had a new start, she had a new start. This fits right into stewardship and legacy planning. What is she going to do with her life? Before that, she wasn't functioning. She couldn't function. I don't go into a drug addict relationship that we had. But now she was back and clear-headed. This was 7 years ago. So I got my bride back. And so she wanted to get into business because there was a business for sale. So I want to do this. I said, no, you don't. No, I'm going to do this. No, you don't. I'm going to do this. So to test her, I said to her, after we looked at it and evaluated and talked to the prior owners and they were selling and so forth, I said, hon, I'm not going to do this. And she snapped back at me, something awful. Then what am I going to do with myself? Okay, we're going to buy it. That was my confirmation. But anyway, all right. So went into business, but I'm a CPA. I understand business. I understand planning. But do you open a business up right before a great recession? This is December of 07. And so the slide that I showed up to you, I set the stage just to tell you what was now happening in 2008 and 2009. Now we were dumping this retirement account. See, when I lost my job, what was important to me? The retirement account. I didn't have a job. I didn't know when that next job was coming. I wasn't ready for retirement yet. This job came a year later, to put it in focus, in 2008. 45% pay cut, by the way. So that's the circumstance. A business startup, watched a retirement account, and a great recession. So as we went through March of 08, my hands got tighter and tighter around this retirement account, saying, Lord, that's what's sustaining us, making sure the business is okay, making sure that we survive, making sure we make our bills meet. I said, I've never been in this place before. Never. I've been a professional all my life, right out the gate from college and made a good pay. So trusting God was different. But I want to tell you, trusting God is the foundational part of stewardship. You don't release something to Him unless you know that He's real and it can be trusted. You can't get involved in the work of investing for the kingdom unless you know Him and trust Him. Okay? You don't understand His mission unless He is, as we sang, that beautiful Creator, that beautiful God. Trust Him. And so as I was going through 2008, God was doing this with the stock market, because that's what my retirement account was invested in. And as it went up, down, up, and down, up, and down, up, and down, guess what direction it was going, 2008, 2009. How do I get back up here? Huh? Anyway, it was here was the problem. The heart was the problem. The focus upon self, my own security, I had to let that go in God's hands and say, Lord, as long as you're taking care of us, that's what matters. That's all that matters. That you're in this. We're in mission in this bridal shop. There's verses on the wall. We're there to touch people. The brides, you had a chance, what, yesterday to pray with two folks that came in. As she was praying with and praying over her. Lord, that's a mission. So this is part of your plan. And you say in your verse about making these sacrifices and these offerings that are pleasing to you. When we're engaged in God's work, He will meet all our needs. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things will be added unto you. What? Eat, food, clothing, right? Give it, it shall be given unto you. As you enter the work and engage in His plan, God will take care of you. Focus had to change and trust Him. What are you trusting in? Is the question on the bed. What are you trusting in? And that you see that it's all about God and what He wants to do in your life. Where do you place your trust? We are now 101 months since I lost my job. And God has met us every month. And I wouldn't go back to the professional way of doing things where I was at the bank, so forth. And the income I was making, I'd stay right where I'm at. The place where God has put me, designed me, and my wife, that we can be usable for Him in that place. I am pushing my time here a little bit. Matthew 26, I'll tell you the story. Mary had this very expensive alabaster jar. And she brought it to the Lord, a perfume, and brought it to the Lord and anointed His head with it. And this was a little more like a pouring that was going on than a dabaduya, okay? And she anointed His head with this oil. She poured this perfume, I should say, upon His head. This is an expensive perfume. First off, she used what she had. She didn't go to Bill Gates Foundation and get a grant, okay, for the purpose. It's what was in her hands that she used. She wanted to bless her Lord. I think in some respects she saw what was coming. She was listening to her Lord and saw what was coming. She wanted to make that blessing to her. Therefore that what? Takes a risk. To invest herself her time, this moment of time to do this, takes a risk. Why? What do people say? Doesn't that jam us all up? Jams me up, and I hate it. I hate that insecurity that comes out at times because I won't take that step because of what will people say. Or, well, I need that for myself. That's my security. How will I live? But she stepped out, took that risk to show her love to the Lord and her adoration for the Lord. And He said, by her act, let her alone, first He said to the disciples, let her alone. The poor you always have with you. But she's done a beautiful thing to me. Her act of devotion, her act of love, her demonstration of that love was received by the Lord as a beautiful thing. He was blessed. I believe, not in Scripture, I believe. Have you ever been blessed? And it brings tears to your eyes, doesn't it? And God touches you. I believe the Lord Jesus was touched. That's why He responded the way He did with those words. And He likely had tears. When you couldn't see them, there's oil all over His place. And it goes back into the parable of the talents where He says, enter into my happiness. I'm blessed. You got it. You did what I expected of you. You got it. As Mary here was embraced by her Lord, she got it. What she was to be doing. That our acts, as we work out our lives and walk through our lives and build treasures in heaven, we are touching the very heart of God and blessing Him. Are we devoted to Him? This was nailed down. This was nailed down in the Scriptures. That she did this act, and the Lord said, this will be a memory to her for all people to know what you did. When we touch God's heart, we fulfill the stewardship plan that He has for our lives, the specificity of our design and His infinite wisdom to that in our lives. And we walk where He wants us to walk. We're touching His heart and blessing Him, and He's nailing it down in the heavenly records for us. May you so know that embrace of the Lord. in your lives? What are you devoted to? Pastor Tom, God bless you.
I'm going to ask in a moment that we'll stand and close in prayer, but I want to invite Clem and Marianne to come and be available to pray with anyone. Maybe it's an issue with finances, or maybe it's an issue with healing. And I'll ask my elders and some of my deaconesses to be available as well. Let's stand as we have the benediction and seek the Lord together. Father, thank you for this time. The challenge from your word about what is our security? We so often put our security in things, in money, in those things which you have given to us, not for the purpose of hoarding and holding on to, but Lord, to use as a steward. And so Lord, help each one of us. We're all at different places. We all have different needs. But Lord, the same calling, the same principle remains for each one, that we be a faithful steward, manage the resources that you've given us, bless you, worship you with all that we have. And so, Lord, give us wisdom. May the Holy Spirit speak to each one of us. And Lord, those today that especially that need perhaps a financial healing, Lord, there are those that need a physical touch, those that need an emotional or spiritual touch, Lord. May you lay hold of what God has for you this day. Don't leave without receiving from Him. And so, Lord, I bless these people as they've been attentive to your word. Thank you for the service as we've worshiped you. May we walk forward from this time, not from your presence. May we walk close with you this week. And we pray all these things in the precious name of Jesus Christ our Lord. God's people said, amen. Amen. Come on up after the service if you want prayer. And first time folks, I'll meet you in the lobby.